Jackson to the end zone. Touchdown, Texas Tech.
Ezukama for the touchdown.
Hand off to Marcus Fields. Down the sideline. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Vivi the Matadors. You are on, as always, with your boy, Albie Shore. And I got my right-hand man, Dylan Smith, with me.
What is up, party people? West Texas. Lubbock. Yo.
We in the house. And Jeremy is back. You were gone for one episode, Jeremy. Glad to have you back, Mr. Dylan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. We are inching closer and closer to football. It feels like a dream. It feels like a joke, to be honest. I feel like I'm going to turn on a TV for College Game Day, which I think is BYU Navy, I think.
Yeah.
For the first one. Yeah. And it's going to be like, oh, just joking. Like, this whole football thing was just a giant prank. We can't actually do this. And then I feel like that's about right.
I did get to watch. One thing that's cool about the fall is that the first football weekend is high school football. So I got to watch Deion Sanders of Trinity Christian high school team play. Oh. But then I also, FCS football started last week.
Yes.
Central Arkansas against Austin Peay. First set play of the game, Central Arkansas 75. No, wait.
Yeah.
Or was it? Yeah, Central Arkansas 75-yard run. To the house.
Yeah, it was
great
good.
Play that I'm pretty sure was broken at the beginning anyway. Mm. Really, it was just a running back. It was that dude.
Mm.
Right. Great play. But today, we get to talk about the guys that are supposed to stop the running back, and that's the linebackers, the Texas Tech linebackers. I don't know if you guys know this, but there was this guy named Jordan Brooks who was on the team last year, the last 4 years. I mean, have you heard of him, Jeremy, Dylan? Have y'all heard of that guy?
Oh,
I heard he went to, what, Linebacker U? Is that what they're calling it?
Oh, Linebacker U. That's
that,
right.
Is that where he was?
Is that a thing now?
I guess so. He was a first-round pick to the Seattle Seahawks, which, I mean, the Seahawks, you could argue, have right now the best linebacker in the league. And so, and his name is Jordan Brooks. No, I'm just joking. But his name, but Jordan did get drafted to a great place from Texas Tech University. A year after, another great Texas Tech linebacker, Dakota Allen, gets drafted. So who fills those two guys' shoes? Rico Jeffers. So Dylan, tell me, what should we think about Rico Jeffers now stepping into that role as the lead linebacker for the university?
Well, it's interesting because up until about, I don't know, 3 days ago, it was his job and only his job. And now I think he's got a little competition or someone to play next to him. But I feel the same way regardless of the new player who we'll talk about. I really think it's Rico Jeffers' year to fill that role. Like, it was Dakota Allen, it was Jordan Brooks, and now it's got to be Rico Jeffers. I expect really big things from Rico Jeffers this year.
Jeremy, what do you think of Rico?
Yeah, it just feels like he is the next in line of this lineage that Texas Tech is starting of stud Tech linebackers. I mean, following Jordan Brooks, it seemed like he sat in his shadow last year, but he was dominant on the defense. I mean, every year he's played, he has improved in tackles, he has improved in his turnover ability and his pass deflection. He only came second behind Brooks in solo tackles last year, but outperformed him in all the other categories. So it seems like a natural next step to have him be the center, be at center stage. Like Dylan said, until, you know, a couple days ago. Now it seems kind of weird, but yeah, he's the next guy for Texas Tech.
So are we done with the love fest now? Can we get to the real? All right, because Rico's cool. I like Rico. I was happy for Rico to be our backup linebacker behind Dakota and Jordan, and I was happy for Rico to be the secondary linebacker behind Jordan last year. But Rico being the main guy is what we're like, the guy, right? And even with the guys we're about to talk about here in a little bit, Rico is now stepping into the role of, I mean, Jordan Brooks had 108 tackles last year, right? Rico now stepping into that realm is where I'm pessimistic, right? He doesn't have the speed of either the guys we just talked about. He doesn't have the coverage ability of Dakota or the run stopping ability of Jordan. He doesn't have, he's slow laterally. Like, there's a lot of things that make me question Rico Jeffers. But one thing that doesn't make me question Rico Jeffers, this dude's a leader, right? This dude's, even last year, I always said that Jordan Brooks was the on-the-field leader as far as production and play, but Rico was the vocal leader. And if anything, these guys are going to play for some Rico. He knows how to lead that defense. That's just as important from that middle linebacker spot. Hey, everything I say is golden. Jeremy, you weren't here last podcast, so you wouldn't know. Okay, you wouldn't know the trend that I've been on. But all I do is speak facts. And one fact that we need to know about this linebacking group is who is going to join him. So first guy I want to talk about that was the projected starter was Krishan Merriweather. So Krishan Merriweather, JUCO transfer from Garden City Community College. I mean, he led all of JUCO in tackles last year from the start. Garden City ain't nothing to scoff at. Really good transfer right there. I mean, what do you think about Krishan, Dylan?
I think I read that he had 153 tackles in 11 games, and I got really excited. So funny enough, we actually recorded this podcast once already until some grad transfer news broke. But before that news broke, we were really high on Krishan Merriweather, and it's just all the things you said. I mean, he was really, really productive in junior college in one of the best junior college environments out there. So he's going to come prepared, and I think he'll definitely contribute this year, but probably a little less with the breaking news.
Jeremy, what do you think about Krishan?
Yeah, I'm on the same boat as you guys. When I saw, I was like, who is this guy? And I look up his stats. Oh my God, 153 tackles, 11 games. I melted.
20 tackles in at least three different games.
Yeah, I melted. I was like, this guy is like, he's about to come in and just destroy the Big 12. But I had to settle down and remember, this is at a community college. This is not with like the same level. Like, he will be stepping into a level of talent that is more appropriate for him. But I don't know if that necessarily means that he shines. But he can play well.
Well, I will say this. Is that, yes, it's JUCO talent. That's true. But he's playing in one of the best, if not the best, JUCO conference in the country. And so it is a step above in production, but it's not a massive leap, right? Like, usually when you're going out and getting a JUCO sophomore to transfer to your school, these are the guys that's going to be able to make the best transition, because he dominated against grown men, against, you know, 20-year-old men and 19, 20-year-old men, dominated that. And now he's making the transition to, again, playing against, now I step up in competition, but it's not going from a high school player to stepping up like that, right? It's going from, I would even argue that conference is maybe FCS level, right? Going from there to now Big 12 football. So I don't think it's a huge difference. If he goes from 153 tackles to 75 tackles, I mean, that's golden, right? But a big reason why that number may not be as high as 75 is because he was the presumed starter until a certain fella named Colin Schooler decided to transfer from Arizona to Tech. News, literally, we recorded the linebacker pod and the news broke the next day, I want to say.
I was editing the linebacker podcast as the news broke.
Yeah, so we had to re-record. Dylan, Colin Schooler, what do you think about that one?
I mean, I think he's not even, I think, I know, just by looking at the numbers, he's one of the most productive linebackers left in college football. He's the active leaders in tackles for loss. I think he's second among active players in tackles. He's a production machine, and he was really good at Arizona. And, you know, it's a nice little bonus that we're going to get some Pac-12 talent out of this whole shutdown for them.
Yeah, I mean, all five of the talented guys in the entire conference of the Pac-12. Who knows? Maybe they all come over. That was a Pac-12 is not a good conference joke. I mean, I didn't
play.
It, yeah, You know, everything I say all, is gold.
Crickets. They're not all hits.
I'm gonna add cricket sounds after you said that.
What can I say? But no, well, Jeremy, what do you think about Skuller?
If I had to use, I made two words to describe him, I would say experienced and I would say efficient. This is somebody who, I mean, if we think about the most snaps, if I'm right, by a returning Tech player, a defensive player is Eli Howard, and that's somewhere around 1,800. And Colin Skuller has been on the field for like 2,700. And so it's just, he's adding such a level of experience of play and efficiency. I mean, he has the fewest missed tackles among Pac-12 linebackers with greater than 700 snaps. So this is no slouch. This is a guy who's going to come in and make an immediate difference for our linebackers and cause a lot of issue with deciding who should play.
I mean, look, Pac-12's not playing this year. Big Ten's not playing this year. And so those, some of those guys are like, look, I'm trying to go to the league, right? And I think Colin Skuller is one of those guys. He sees the NFL in his future, and he wants to boost his stock. Personally, I think he would have been drafted regardless, but I think he's a guy that's looking at, how can I boost my stock? All right, well, it's not necessarily going to Texas. It's not necessarily going to Oklahoma. But those Tech guys, that defense pretty bad.
And they're putting linebackers in the league.
That's what I was going to say. We mentioned both of those linebackers. It certainly helps recruit guys like this when you have two guys in the league that just left.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and here's one thing that's interesting is that now I think it's funny what Tech media has kind of made it seem, but Matt Walls, after Tech played Arizona last year, the first guy he went up to was Colin Skuller. I mean, in that game, Colin had 8 tackles, a sack and a half himself. And he went up and was basically like, man, hey, you killed us this game. You were really good. Now, do I think that he went up there with the idea of, hey, man, you know, if you ever think about transferring here, come on over here. No, but I will say just that respect may have played into the cards a little bit as well.
Hey, can I toss a little trivia at you, Albert?
No, I'm doing online schooling.
Oh, okay.
Pandemic and all.
Yeah.
No, what's the trivia?
Yeah, Skuller is not the only person that Matt Wells has played before and decided to come play for him. There is another linebacker who played Matt Wells in the past and decided to come to Texas Tech. You know who that is? Yeah, it's Brandon Boyer Randall. 2018, Michigan State played Utah State, and I guess they had a little conversation after that and said, you know what? Apparently Matt Wells is a guy of prophecy because
Hey, look, if there's ever a pandemic and your conference cancels,
come on
you
over.
You know where to go.
Yeah. You're always welcome. I'll probably be somewhere in Texas.
I'll probably be, hey, you want me to transfer to Utah State? No, man. I know things. So actually, and Jeremy, that's a great way to segue to our next point. The Rover linebacker, right? That is the new position. We saw it featured quite a bit last year. It is now a permanent position for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. And Brandon Boyer Randall, one of the reasons why he was recruited to come to Tech was because of the fact that he's basically the prototype for this. I said Rover, I meant Raider. For the Raider linebacker, but he's a prototype for it. A speedy outside linebacker that can rush off the edge, get sacks, and also potentially go out into coverage if need be. Dylan, what do you think about this addition?
It's hard to say what he's going to bring to the table just because he played so little at Michigan State. And I know this plays into your theory of, he's in a big school and didn't play much, so he's going to be crap. I don't think that's necessarily the case, but you know, he started out as a D end his freshman year at Michigan State, and then he transitioned to linebacker. And so really that fits the mold of the Raider position. So at least we know he fits the position, but his production remains to be seen. I do like that he probably brings some maturity and experience to the locker room, but I'm not ready to pencil him in at the starting Raider position just yet.
Are you, Jeremy? Is this you already? You introduced him. Is this your boy? You putting everything behind him?
Rico Jeffers is my dude. Dylan brings up a lot of good points. Randall, I mean, he comes into Michigan State to play defensive end, and he ends up switching back to his natural linebacker position. And then in 2018, or is it 29? His last, sorry, 2019, he gets an injury and he only plays like four games. So he doesn't, like, he has experience, but I think that's, you know, 17 games total. 20 something games. My math is horrible. But so, like, there's a lot of question for him to play a natural linebacker position to move to this more hybrid position that Patterson's going to want him to play. Is he able to, I mean, you're right, he's got experience. He's definitely got the knowledge of, like, a defensive end and a linebacker from at the collegiate standpoint. But is he ready to take on this more ability to play the pass role that Patterson's going to want him to be in? And I just don't know, because we don't have valuable footage on that. So it's kind of the biggest question mark in the linebacking core.
So how many tackles did Krishan Merriweather have again at Garden City?
About in 10 total? A game.
About 10 a game.
Yeah, about what, 10 a game at 150. Okay, let's go ahead. 20 tackles for three games. That's nice. How many tackles did Colin Schooler have again?
A lot.
A lot.
A lot.
Right?
Yeah.
A lot. Ooh, actually, yeah. 313 over 3 years. Brandon Boyer Randall had a grand total in the 3 years he was at Michigan State, a whopping 31. A whopping 31, including his sophomore year where he played all 12 games and amassed a whopping 21 tackles. Woo, buddy.
Again, just because he didn't see the field doesn't mean he's terrible.
There you go. Yeah.
Look, okay, I need guys. I tweeted this that I, as much as I crap on transfers, Colin Schooler is different. Because Colin Schooler, hey, he wasn't some guy that was at a school and was like, oh, I can't play here, so let me go ahead and transfer. No, he was a guy that was, hey, I literally can't play. They won't let me play.
Hey, I can't play. Let me go to Texas.
Right? Brandon Boyer Randall, look, I mean, for him, he was like, look, I'm not going to play here regardless, all right? I got 31 tackles, and he has 31 more tackles than me in the last 3 years, okay? I can't trust that Brandon – we don't know what Brandon Boyer Randall is. I mean, at this point, he's nothing more than any other, you know, a high school or any other veteran that came into the onto the team. We don't know how good he is. Just because he comes from Michigan State doesn't mean anything to me, right? What we're hoping is he's more of a Chris Beard grad transfer than a Cliff Kingsbury grad transfer.
Oh, yeah, right? That's good.
Unfortunately, this is football. And so I don't trust any grad transfer, except for Colin Schooler, that comes from a big program that we're supposed to be all excited for. And Colin Schooler didn't come from a big program. He just produced. I need some guys that produce, all right? And Brandon Boyer Randall's not one of them. But he is the prototype for this new position. So if anybody's going to succeed, it will be him. I just don't think he will.
Yeah. What have you done for me lately?
What have you done for me lately? So we kind of talked about the presumed starters, right? We talked about, you know, Trashback Randall. We talked about Brandon Boyer Randall. We talked about Colin Schooler. We talked about Rico Jeffers, Krishan Merriweather. So I need y'all to give me, and I'll start with you, Dylan. Give me one guy, an unsung hero, that can provide depth and you think is going to have a breakout year.
Yeah, I think there are quite a few options. I think we could have a lot of depth at linebacker this year. I think what really needs to be addressed is outside. I think we have plenty of depth inside, but I think it's got to be one of these two names. Jacob Morgenstern, the transfer from Duke. Another player you're not going to like, Albie.
Hey, I like that.
Get me out of here!
Let me give you a player you might be able to get behind. That's Cosi Eldridge. Really didn't see the field much for us, but coming out of camp, a lot of what's the linebacker's coach name? Kevin Cosgrove was really high on Cosi Eldridge, said he's playing really well and is going to earn snaps at that position. So if I had to pick a name, it'd be Cosi Eldridge.
All right, Jeremy, do you want to pick another guy that I was going to talk about?
Nope. I think Dylan and I spent a lot of time at the pre-pod talking about Eldridge. Eldridge is good. I know you want to talk about somebody else, Albie. I know you've prepared for somebody else. You're such a you're prepared guy. Do you have somebody different?
Well, I mean, I don't think you know me very well at all. I mean, the only other guy that I think could provide some depth is I'm looking at Tyrique Matthews. He's from the H, and we all know that Houston football players are just a lot better than anybody else. But last year he didn't. I mean, he actually got some PT last year as a true freshman. Didn't get the red shirt. He played in most of the game.
He played in all the games. Yeah.
Yeah, played in every game last year. And so I think that just tells you how high Wells and company look at him. Not only that, but if I remember correctly, Tyrann Mathieu is one of the guys that Wells called to stay on. And you already know how much I think Wells values his players, like any new coach values his players. Tyrann Mathieu is one of his players. I'm one of Patterson's players. And so I do think that he's a guy that not only played well last year in limited time, but will continue to play well and provide depth for the team. So big tie.
Oh, yeah.
That's my guys providing depth. I did come prepared. Look at that, Jeremy.
There you go.
Right after us.
Yeah.
You had faith in me.
I did.
I rewarded that.
I did, yeah. I will say I wish Xavier Benson wasn't going through whatever he's going through and that he could have remained on the team this year. But he will, if he comes back, he'll definitely be an impact player.
Yeah, definitely. And so Xavier Benson was one guy I think was going to be perfect for this Raider position before Brandon Boyer-Randle transferred over. And so, but like with anything, I mean, him making the decision, Xavier Benson making the decision to take a year off for his mental health, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm glad he's doing it. Still keeps a year of eligibility. Nothing wrong with it. And I hope he comes back better than ever.
This is a podcast that supports mental health. Do what you got to do, Xavier Benson.
100%. I know he's listening to the pod, as he always does. So be good. Be kind. But what's not going to be kind is, guys, we got to talk about it. Who won this linebacking core just doesn't have what it takes. It's going to disappoint us. Jeremy, you go first.
Oh, my gosh. Jacob Morgenstern.
That's the answer.
Coming over from Duke. I mean, come on. I just don't think it's going to translate.
Here's something I just learned about Jacob Morgenstern that makes me even less confident that he will contribute.
He's tall.
When he entered the transfer portal, he originally committed to Kent State.
Oh, my God.
And we flipped him.
Oh, my God.
Matt Wells, the recruiter, flipped him?
Yeah, flipped him
from
right
Kent
up.
State.
Buddy.
Wow, that's a big one.
So, oh, yeah, my goodness.
I'm with Jeremy.
Oh, my goodness. You know how huge it is to take a guy from Kent, the Kent State?
Mm.
Granted, he was at Duke in the SEC, but yeah.
The Mecca's
doesn't inspire much confidence.
Who doesn't want to play in Northeast Ohio? Who doesn't want to be a Golden Flash? Okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, I tell you. Yeah, no, Jacob Morgenstern is the answer here. Talk about an uninspiring grad transfer. Like, who? You know how low on the grad transfer totem pole you got to be to, like, for fans to hear about you and then everybody be like, okay. That's like, every grad transfers are such alley-oops. Like, everybody's excited about a grad transfer. Oh, he must be good. Brandon Boyer-Randle. Oh, he's from Michigan State. That's crazy. But Jacob Morgenstern, they were like, right? A guy that couldn't get playing time at Duke. I don't even think he got PT that much PT on special teams. That's the least you can do. The least you can do is, you know, help return a punt. But it's a consensus answer for Jacob Morgenstern for sure. And then, I mean, another answer would be like every other white guy on the linebacking crew not named Patrick Kerley, but you know. Yeah. No, I will say I do like Patrick Kerley, but everybody else outside of Patrick Kerley, yeah. I mean, they won't disappoint because they won't see the field. Is that can I say that?
I think that's fair. What gets you excited about Kerley?
I'll say this. Kerley one is a big boy.
Yeah, he's thick, man. He's got that.
Yeah.
Where's he from?
Two C's.
He's from Oklahoma.
Yeah, he's thick with two C's.
Yeah.
He does those off-season workouts where, you know, you have a hammer and you bang it on a tire.
Yeah.
Right? No, but he's a thick guy. He's a really good run. From what I saw from his tapes when I saw it a couple years ago, was a really good run stop. Really just hit the hole. One thing that's, I will say this, it's really hard a lot of times watching tapes from guys from Oklahoma or New Mexico because the talent level isn't the same, right? Like most of the guys that you see that end up getting recruited to Tech are like 6A, 5A, 4A type players. So they're going up against other really like good schools. Oklahoma is like Texas 2A, right? So, but Kerley, I mean, every thing he was in, he dominated. And, I mean, he played in a few games last year, mostly special teams. But I do think Curley eventually will get playing time, right? I think eventually he'll be somebody that's in there. The other white guys, yeah, I'm sorry. Thanks for playing. Thanks for trying to play. So before we head out of here, it's time for us to make some bold predictions. Bold predictions. So I need yes or no, fellas. Will we have 100 tackle player this year?
No, because we have two very good inside linebackers.
Jeremy, will we have 100-yard tackler this year?
Man. Dylan made a lot of sense.
Puff your chest out. Puff your chest. No,
no
stick
no,
to your
I'm not. No.
Oh, my goodness.
So the voice of reason swayed, prevails.
Man. Yeah, logic is just hard to come
so
overcome.
Easily swayed.
No, just.
I thought I impressed you with Curly. I thought you were going to say, you know what? Screw it. Curly's about to be the guy.
Curly.
I thought you were going to put off my boy, Pat Curly.
Oh,
for
man.
A second. Oh, man. No, the answer is no. Question. We have three starting linebackers now. Will we have three 70 tackle players?
No.
Yeah, I'm confident in that.
What? No.
Boom!
I'll take
Dylan.
That bet.
Who are the three?
I'll take that bet. Brandon.
I mean, obviously, it's got to be Rico Jeffers and Colin Schooner, but I think Krishan Merriweather finds his way in there and gets a handful of tackles, too. Who knows? Maybe they try him out at Raider and he kicks ass.
There you go. Hey, Dylan's so hyped up, cursing on the pod. Look at you.
I feel bad. I really liked Krishan Merriweather and I want to see him take the field.
For sure. So final question I'll ask. We've had two linebackers in a row get drafted. And this is a college pod, not an NFL pod, but player gets drafted doesn't mean he had a great year. Will we have a third year in a row of a linebacker getting drafted? Jeremy.
Yes.
Dylan.
Is Rico Jeffers a senior?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, then we'll have two linebackers drafted.
That's what I'm saying, baby.
Because
hey,
you said it earlier, Colin Schooler was already draft worthy before he got here.
Yeah.
Time out, Dylan. Jeremy, you don't get to join in on Dylan's bold take.
Well, you didn't ask me if we're going to have multiple. You just said, are we going to have one?
Dylan has stepped up and said, I will be the bold take machine. That is your role on the pod, Jeremy. And I'm disappointed in you, quite frankly. Dylan, good for you.
Jeremy left us for a podcast.
Yeah, I chilled out.
Up in the world, you know?
Too much mountain air for me.
I see. I mean... So you live in Lubbock for 20 years and you get tired of the flatness, huh? You're a traitor is what I see, what I hear.
Yeah. Where do you live, Albert?
But yeah. besides that. No, Colin Schooler came here to be drafted. I mean, to be honest, if I was him, I would have just taken the year off and called it a day and did tire flips for, you know, the next year or whatever. Guys do that on the off season. I'm really trying not to say white guys here. I'm trying to keep it but I don't. Whatever they do in the video montages, right? But that's what I would have done if I was Colin Schooler. But he wanted to play, and kudos to him. He wanted to play, wanted to give it a shot, and he wanted to be a Red Raider for a year. And I think I do think that is going to benefit Tech. I'm not a big fan of all these other grad transfers, but Colin Schooler is a difference maker. I do think it'll benefit Tech's defense, especially. We talked about the secondary already and how that's going to be a problem, right? That's going to be, and I don't mean that in a good way, right? It's going to be an issue even this year, but you hope and you pray that it's a little bit better. Linebacking crew is already, I mean, I already look at this linebacking crew, and actually I'll ask y'all one more question. With Colin Schooler, now we have Colin Schooler, we have Krishan Merriweather, we have Brandon Boyer Randall. Is this linebacking crew better than it was last year?
Top-down talent, no. Depth, yes.
Ooh. Do you just, like, are you weighing that heavy because this is Jordan Brooks?
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, unless we think Colin Schooler is going to be a first-round draft pick, but.
So, no, I'll say this. I think linebacking crew as a group is better. I do. Because even though no, I don't think Schooler, Merriweather, Jeffers is better, as good as Brooks was last year. That's Brooks was one guy, right? And I think the second best linebacker we had last year was Rico. And I now think that we have at least, I mean, obviously Rico's a year older, so he's better. Schooler's better than Rico was last year. And it wouldn't surprise me if Krishan is as good as Rico was last year, right? So that's three guys now that are as good, if not better, than the second best guy we had. And then who knows? Maybe I'm wrong about Brandon Boyer Randall. And that would give you a fourth guy, right? So I do think as a group, this group, linebacking group, is better than what we had last year. And you know, it's kind of like I'm a Texans fan, and it's been a sad time being a Texans fan. But the Texans lost DeAndre Hopkins in the world's stupidest trade, but the receiving core is better, right? Like the receiving core as a whole is better because they added like three other guys, right? And so it's a similar situation, right? You lose the best linebacker, one of the best linebackers the university's ever seen, but you also add three guys who are studs in their own right, or at least two of them are studs, and the third one to be determined. All right. So, Jeremy, anything you want to say before we get off this pod?
Yeah. Rico, we know that you listen, probably sitting down with Kozai, just listening to the podcast. In April 23rd, 2020, you tweeted, "Damn, Jordan Brooks and Coda set the standard high. Gotta go top 10, I guess. Peace till 2021. Well, guess what, man? It's coming up, and you better show out because I want to see you go top 10.
I'm a big believer in setting realistic goals. So, look, Rico, just have a good season, all right? Dylan, anything you want to say?
Nope, I'm good. I'm hungry. Let's get this thing over with.
That's the spirit. For Jeremy, for Dylan, we are going to get this thing over with. This is Albie. As always, follow us at Air Raid Podcast on Twitter. Follow the home team at Viva the Matadors on Twitter, Viva the Matadors on Facebook if you're over 40. As always, stay wrecked, people.